This is the Marketplace Morning Report. I'm David Brancaccio. We're looking at medical debt this week, the leading cause of personal bankruptcies in America. What you're about to hear is drawn from a panel discussion with a live audience we held in St. Paul, Minnesota the other night. Among panelists, Allison Sesso with a national nonprofit called RIP Medical Debt, Jennifer Schultz, University of Minnesota healthcare economist, and the Attorney General of the state of Minnesota and former Congressman Keith Ellison.
This is the debt that you and I don't ask for. You didn't ask to get cancer. So many aspects of medical debt are things that are a surprise that we don't have any chance to shop for.
I didn't fully understand this. If a spouse were to die,
right,
the other spouse is responsible for the debt?
The debt switches over.
Why is that?
Because the Minnesota State Legislature years ago was influenced by people with a lot of influence.
So would the act address that?
Yes, it would. It would ban that practice. We also would say that you couldn't be denied non-emergency care if you have an outstanding balance.
So that happens. Someone shows up and are in need and they say, well, you got some debt.
We're trying to codify into law. You can't report a medical debt to a credit bureau because you didn't ask for this debt. It is really not an indicator of your credit worthiness.
Jennifer, your views on pharmaceutical prices, because it can be complex.
As a country, we pay the highest prices for brand name drugs in the world. New this year, Medicare beneficiaries will not pay more than $2,000 out of pocket for prescription drugs per year. That is a huge win. You need to tell everybody about that.
So, Jen, these drugs cost a lot of money, but isn't it also true that we subsidize them as the taxpayer?
Well, most of the research on drugs is done at our R1 academic institutions that are paid for with NIH money that is paid for by our taxpayers.
But, I mean, I should point out that it's not like the pharmaceutical companies don't put any money in, and most drugs don't work, but it still sets wrong.
Right, because the marginal cost of producing the drug once you have the patent or once you have something that's effective is very small.
An interesting follow-up question. What do you think will be the impact on medical debt of Ozempic, the weight loss drugs that seem very effective, but are expensive?
Well, if we can reduce the price and we reduce obesity, that can save in the long run. The government doesn't budget in long runs. It doesn't look at the savings over 10 or 30 years, but it could lead to actually reducing healthcare costs.
Julie has a question. It's quite practical. Are there free financial resources if they open up one of these bills and they know they cannot handle it?
Yeah, everyone should go to the hospital or the provider and ask about financial assistance. Tell your story. Whatever you do, don't put it on a credit card. Once you put it on a credit card, it's consumer debt. It's not medical debt anymore.
Right.
So all the protections he's putting
That's
in
right.
place will not apply. Also, be really mindful of signing up for this great plan that the hospital is telling you to sign up for that has either a high interest rate or you can't afford the monthly bills on. And definitely don't not pay your rent or other bills because you have a medical debt.
And they also shouldn't sign consent forms when they're in the hospital before they get care. You'll get the care even if you don't sign the consent
form. You have a choice?
If it's an emergency situation, they have to provide care.